Have you heard of the Silent Service? Probably not. Not many people have. That's one of the reasons they call it that. And yet the full story, the complete story of this element of war would make a Western dime thriller seem duller than an income tax report. That's why I want to tell you about the Silent Service. About the men who go down to the sea and down under the sea in submarines.
To all men who serve on submarines in the United States Navy, to those who fought beneath the seas to bring victory to an allied cause, and to Navy men everywhere, this program is respectfully dedicated. The United States Armed Forces Radio Service presents The Silent Service, with William Conrad as your narrator.
You know, you can tell what a man does in the Navy without looking at his uniform. All you have to do is listen to him talk. For instance, this is what I mean.
He was field day seeing the old man aboard and still got one head left to swab down all the time.
He's a seaman on a big ship, battle wagon.
I'm out in front of a group of Hellcats just taking a look over the slot when I see a zero.
That's a fighter pilot, a squadron leader off a large carrier. And now here's another voice. The voice of a man who is used to living and working and fighting in an element that is silent and imposes silence.
That's right, mister.
This is a submariner.
You learn to be quiet when you're running silent with enemy ships searching overhead. They're sitting up there ready to unload 300-pound cans of TNT right on top of you and listening with sound devices to try to pick you up. That's when it's quiet in a submarine. A quiet so thick you can feel it. No one talks, no one moves unless it's in stocking feet. You know you're a goner if they hear so much as the grind of a propeller or the sound of a dropped wrench. Every second is like a year. Every breath of air seems louder than a storm at sea. And then the soundman reports they're fading away, and you breathe a little easier. Laugh a little. Maybe crack a joke about it. But you don't forget it, mister. You never forget. The sound of silence.
That was a chief motor machinist mate, a veteran of 11 war patrols, 11 trips under enemy waters. And he'll be 23 years old soon. That's how it is all through the service. Submariners, like athletes, are middle-aged at 35 and old men at 40. Even the history of submarining in our Navy is young. All of its fighting traditions were made during World War II. The Navy had only three submarines in action in 1918.
Well, wait a minute there, huh?
Yeah?
Well, if it's so new, then what's all this talk about traditions? Doesn't that sort of thing come kind of slow and gradual?
Everywhere but in the submarine service, brother. With them, it started right from the beginning of the war. The smoke over Pearl Harbor hadn't even cleared from the skies when our subs began ruthlessly hunting for revenge on the Japs. And that's where the records started to pile up.
The submarine Swordfish was the first American vessel to sink an enemy craft December 16th, 1941, in the South China Sea.
President Manuel Quezon was evacuated from Mindanao in the Philippines by submarine.
The gold reserve of the Philippine government was transported from the islands by submarine.
An American submarine first brought the war to Japan's home waters when the Pollock sank a Jap ship only 60 miles southwest of Tokyo. This only 4 weeks after Pearl Harbor.
Yes, right from the beginning, the submarines were our long, thin line of defense in the Pacific. And they were making good. And like all other arms of the Navy, they developed their traditions of humor, too. Like the message that was sent throughout the Navy to announce that the submarine Sturgeon had sunk her first Jap ship.
Just 4 words is all we need to give them the news, Captain. They'll understand if we just send this message. Sturgeon, no longer virgin.
Or the story of the submarine Parch on patrol when it surfaced almost directly in front of a sinking Jap destroyer that it had twice torpedoed.
They have the searchlight on us, sir. They're not down yet.
Let's get out of here.
Captain, they're signaling to us.
What's the call?
Seems to be a series of double A's.
What the... That's the international call for an unknown ship. Of all the idiotic... What do they mean?
I don't know, sir. I guess those Japs have a lot of forms to fill out, too.
Or the submarine that sneaked into a Jap harbor through the enemy's destroyer screen even past the anti-submarine net defenses. Through the periscope, the skipper sighted a cruiser tied up at a dock and crew members boarding a Liberty party bus on shore. Working his way in close, he gave the order to fire the forward torpedoes and noted the result.
They're in there. Two hits scored. Mr. Earle.
Yes, sir?
Enter the time in the log and make this notation. Two torpedoes fired with the result that we eliminated one enemy cruiser, 50 yards of dock, and one enemy bus.
And those are some of the stories they tell about the early days in the silent service, when a handful of boats and their crews were all that we had to strike back at the Japs.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're right about how important they were, but there's something else I'd like to know about.
Well, go ahead, speak up. That's why I'm here.
This is kind of a funny question, but tell me, what's it like? I mean, being down there during a war. How does a man feel in a sub? What goes on?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer, brother. But the records of the submariners are open to us now. We can read and talk about the exploits of the silent service. It wasn't that way during the war. This is the way the Navy had to phrase it then.
Navy Department Communique number 462, 1 February, 1945. U.S. submarines have reported sinking 8 vessels, including 2 combat ships, as a result of operations in Far Eastern waters, as follows: 2 destroyers, 4 large tankers, 3 medium transports, and 1 small cargo vessel. These actions have not been announced in any previous Navy Department communique.
Yeah, pretty cut and dried that way, you notice. No submarine got credit for the kill, just a simple statement of verified sinkings. But behind those cold official words, there is a story as tense and exciting as any that came out of the war. The story of the 5th War Patrol of the submarine Flasher. It's nearly dawn on this morning in December 1944. But day or night, it's much the same to you below the surface on the sub. A familiar sound awakens you.
Now hear this. Rise and shine. Rise and shine.
And for a minute you lie there, just as you have on countless other mornings aboard the Flasher. A torpedo's your bed partner, and probably will be until you get a chance to send it flashing through the water toward an enemy ship. Like all submarines, your quarters shine with polished brass and stainless steel. You listen to the boat talk to itself. The sea outside sounds as if your ear is in a pounding surf. It doesn't walk along the skin of a sub. It runs and roars and beats its sides.
Well, here we go again. Another day. Been kind of dull this trip. Hope we find something out there today. Maybe we're better off if we don't. Well, it's tough to go back to the base without that old broomstick flying from your bridge. Kind of like to see some action, too. Don't like this routine stuff. Merrier, the happier all our trips were like this, though. Mary. Yeah, take another look at her picture before I hop out. Yeah, mighty sweet. Glad the kid looks like you instead of like his old man. Well, so long, family. Got a good wash before the rest of the guys take over.
The others are waking now, climbing out of their bunks, zipping the green leather covers over their mattresses, making the usual small talk that starts a new day.
Hey, stop moving over that picture, Mac, while there's still hot water.
You guys want to hear about my dream last night?
Wow! Your dreams. Last night, mine was in Technicolor.
Hey, anybody got any shaving cream? I'm all out.
Shorty, for a guy who runs a ship's stores, you can run out of stuff oftener than any guy I've ever seen.
Nice kids, these. Nice guys. You feel closer to them almost than to your own blood relatives. You know everything about them. You've eaten, slept, played, and fought with them. Now, Shorty there, the guy who forgets things, but didn't hesitate to loan you 10 on your last liberty. And Big John Torpedoman with 10 war patrols under his belt. The pharmacist mate who's just pulling on fresh skivvies. He's the guy who yanked the glass out of your hand with tweezers when the light bulb shattered on that close call off Luzon. Yeah, these are your guys. The guys of the Flasher. up on the bridge, your skipper, Commander Grider, has already started his day.
Steady on course, 015.
Steady, sir.
The red and green lights on the panel of the control room blink like tiny Christmas trees. The light of dawn over the China Sea gradually outlines the dim form of the captain, the officer of the deck, and the three lookouts perched in the periscope shields. Each man silently and grimly scanning his sector. The captain's war diary for this day will show the terse offhand words of the report.
0700, patrolling station. Navigator got his first fix in 36 hours this morning.
But the captain has his own ideas of this patrol.
Don't like this weather. Too patchy. Too many solid rain squalls. Ought to dive. But if we do, we'll miss any Japs that come along. Guess we'll stay up and hope we see them first. 19 days of lousy weather and lousy hunting. Men are getting restless. It isn't good to be so long out of action.
0705, heading east for assigned station.
My first patrol with this crew. They're good to work with. Know their boat and they know their jobs. Hope we can give them a workout today. Sure like to get a Jap in my scope.
0745. Received contact report from Hawkbill. There's a convoy coming our way.
Now this is more like it. If I just pick them out, maybe those days of patrol will pay off now. Why couldn't we get good shooting weather?
I've plotted them in, Captain. Looks like we're right in front of them and should sight them soon.
Radar, keep your eyes on that scope. We'll never see them up here in this visibility.
Watching, Captain. All I've got so far is about 100 rain squalls.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Captain, here they are. This pip dead ahead looks like them, Captain.
How many?
A lot of ships, sir. A couple of big ones. Range about 6 miles, bearing 077.
Masts on the horizon, Captain. See, just past that rain squall.
Yep, there they are. Okay, Mac, take her down.
Aye, aye, sir. Clear the bridge!
Six three feet.
Aye, aye, sir.
Up scope. Pinging and screw noises make them pretty close. Good time for her, too. The men have had their breakfast. They're all set. If only this rain squall would lift and give us a... Mast on the horizon, dead ahead. Sound, do you have them?
Yes, sir. Sounds like 6 or 7 ships. A couple of big ones. Some small ones milling around there, Captain. Lots of escorts.
Sound, general alarm.
Aye, sir.
All hands, battle station submerged. Battle station submerged.
The persistent, frightening, challenging tone of the general alarm sends you to your post. In a matter of seconds, your slumbering boat has become awake, alive, animated. Gone is the lethargy and the drowsiness, and instead is a tense alertness of mind and body. This is the payoff. This is where your hours of training have been aimed.
Make ready all torpedo tubes. Make ready all tubes.
You take your stand in the forward torpedo room. The gleaming brass of the tubes reflects the frenzy of activity around you as each man takes his post for the attack.
Well, what is it, another drill?
Drill? Hell, Max says the whole blame sea is full of ships up there.
Step it up, man. Let's make this a good one.
Okay,
let's go.
Here, get off my foot, you big ox.
Well, keep it out of the way, fathead.
How about it? Those tubes ready yet?
Well, keep your pants on, Chief. We're getting there.
Hey, who threw orange peels in my bunk?
70 of you. 70 guys on a boat, each with a job to do. Torpedomen, engineers, and seamen. Ready for the chance to prove your abilities. Ready to sink Japs. And then you're set. And the word goes up to the skipper.
Conning tower, tubes forward. Ready all tubes and standing by.
Conning tower, aye. Conning tower, tubes aft. All tubes ready aft. Conning tower, aye.
And up above you in the conning tower, the skipper feels his responsibility. This is the 8th War Patrol for Commander Grider. It's old stuff now. But every attack is different. Every torpedo run brings the responsibility of making his shots count and bringing the Flasher and its crew out of the danger area.
Sound man, how many targets?
It's a convoy, sir. At least 6 of them out there.
This fool missed. I can't see a thing through the scope. Wait a minute. there, dead ahead of us. Looks like a destroyer. Stand by for a quick setup. Bearing. Mark.
Bearing 088, sir.
Range. Mark.
2000, sir.
Angle on the bow, 30 starboard. Call the speed 15 and pray we're right. Right full rudder.
Rudder's right full, sir. Problem set, sir.
Torpedoes ready?
All tubes ready, sir.
We'll run four at this baby. Stand by for firing. Phil, I'll spread by scope.
Okay, Captain.
Sound. Think they've contacted us yet?
Dunno, Captain. They're getting close.
Okay, good. Let's shoot. Stand by for final setup. God, don't let them contact us for 30 more seconds. Just 30 seconds. Steady on course, 115. All ahead, two-thirds.
Answering all ahead, two-thirds. 5 degrees from course.
Very well. Sound, what about it?
Nearest target bears 020. Sounds like the destroyer.
Getting warm. Let's shoot. Ready, Phil?
All set, Captain. Angle 70 starboard.
Stand by for final bearing. Bearing. Mark.
028.
Set.
Say a prayer, boys. She's crossing the wire. Steady. Steady. Fire!
Fire one.
Torpedo running on bearing 030.
Fire two.
Fire two.
031.
032.
Fire three. Fire three.
033.
Fire four.
Fire four. Four torpedoes fired, sir.
Left full rudder, down scope. Take her deep.
You work quickly below. Before the first torpedoes have reached their targets, you start reloading and getting the stern tubes ready.
What's that fin there, Mac? Don't get it fouled.
Fire up, steady, steady.
This one goes in number two, too.
Okay, men, there she is. Now get behind it.
Then the word comes. Two hits on the first target. Those 10 fish, those torpedoes, cost $12,000 apiece, but they've paid for themselves plenty in sinking an enemy ship twice your size. And you think...
We did it, Mary. We made a hit. Oh, what a day.
But you're not through. The captain picks another target, a 10,000-ton vessel in the convoy. You fire two tubes at it. And then suddenly the captain sights a destroyer bawling down on you less than 500 yards away. The flasher goes deep and you wait for the depth charges. The attack lasted just 10 minutes, but even the seconds seemed like years as the sound of the enemy screws pounds through the hull and beats in your ears. And then... it's right overhead. It's going to be a close one. Boat shakes like a plate of jelly, and the lights flicker and fade, and then burn bright again. The sweat breaks out on your hands, and your throat goes dry.
We can't take much more of this, Mary. Not much more.
Another one. It opens some valves and breaks the light bulbs over your head. You take a look at the bulkhead that separates you from the sea and wonder if it can stand even one more beating like that. And then it's over. And the screws of the enemy ship pass over you and fade away. And still you sit it out, waiting while the minutes tick by. 10, 20, 30 minutes. An hour. And finally the captain says,
"All right, Mac, let's take a look. 6 3 feet.
6 3 feet, sir. Aye.
Yeah, the destroyer is gone. Sunk. That big tanker is in flames, settling by the stern. But your job isn't through. There are some other ships in that convoy, and you go after them. You maneuver into position and send 4 10-fish speeding through the seas at the second destroyer. Again, you dive deep while an escort ship drops 46 depth charges over you in king-size explosions.
You know something? I think those guys are irritated.
Yeah. And all because we sunk a couple of their ships. Some navies just ain't got no consideration.
Well,
they ain't missing us any too far.
Oh, can it, you guys? They're probably sounding for us. Sounding, huh? Sitting on top of us.
Yeah, they're plenty mad now. It's like stirring up a hornet's nest with a stick. All four of your torpedoes went to the mark, and they're after you.
Yeah, they're going off all around you now, and they're close. And the boat rocks like a tin can in a mountain stream. Light bulbs shatter, glass spins through the air. Locker doors fly open, wrenches are falling from the manifolds. You figure no matter what happens, you've done a good job up above, but brother, you admit it, you're scared. Well, the danger's gone now. The day's work is done. And you're getting ready for that bunk you left just 12 hours ago on this December 4th of the year 1944.
We're okay, Mary. We did all right. Two destroyers and a tanker. Yeah, it's not bad for a little boat like the Flasher. No casualties either. It was rough, Mary. Mighty rough. And I'm glad it's over for today. It's nice to be here with my face just a pillow's width away from your picture. You and the kids. Take care of yourselves. Good night, Mary. Good night.
And you're pretty proud afterwards, too. After the war is over, you can say that you belong to the sub that sank the largest amount of enemy shipping. Over 100,000 tons of it. And on the bridge, you pasted 21 Jap flags for the vessels you'd helped send to the bottom. But you feel the best about two things. The submarine combat pin you wear over your breast pocket. The insignia of a successful war patrol. And the presidential unit citation for your patrol. That read in part,
for extraordinary heroism in action against enemy Japanese surface forces in restricted waters of the Pacific. Constantly forced down by fierce and repeated depth charging and threatened by strong hostile air coverage, the Flasher persistently resurfaced to carry on a vigorous and determined offensive against the Japanese. She effected wide coverage of assigned areas far from home base and developed every contact. She boldly penetrated formidable screens to press home her attacks by day or night, in glassy seas or foul weather. She placed her hits with devastating accuracy, evaded fierce countermeasures of escort vessels, and inflicted terrific damage on the enemy in vital ships sunk or severely damaged. Ceaseless in her vigilance and daring in combat tactics, the Flasher has served with distinction in thwarting the war efforts of a fanatical enemy, and her brilliant record of achievement is a reflection of the personal valor and superb seamanship of her officers and men.
Well, that's it. That's what it's like in the silent service. On a submarine in combat.
Well, I'm beginning to see now. But this Flasher, what was it? A kind of a super sub or what?
No, not at all. The same as all the others in the service. 1,400 tons service displacement, characterized by habitability, long cruising radius, high surface speed, the ability to remain 24 hours underwater at 3 knots speed, well, look, costing about $5 million to build,
look, I can read all about that in the book. No, that isn't what I meant, Mac.
Well, what then?
Well, I was thinking, did all our subs get that much action, or was the Flasher a hotshot?
No, the story of that 5th War Patrol is pretty typical of submarine activity all during the war. A story that any one of our more than 200 combat subs could duplicate. But it wasn't only knocking out enemy vessels that occupied the time of our men.
Well, you mean they did other things, too?
Oh, lots of them. Things like troop transport.
We landed Carlson's raiders on Macon Island and others in Attu and the Aleutians.
And reconnaissance?
Every major invasion relied on the photos our submarines made of coastal areas and installations before troops were landed.
And rescue missions?
Our submarines brought back to safety over 500 Allied aviators that had been shot down over the water by the enemy.
And add to that the odd jobs of mine laying, supporting guerrilla operations, rescuing beleaguered nationals, shooting down small enemy craft. Yeah, you put them all in the picture, and you've got a pretty good idea of our submarine activities.
Yeah, okay. I'm convinced. But what did it all add up to? What was the result?
Well, the box score was good. Our submarines destroyed two-thirds of the Jap merchant fleet. We knocked out one-third of their vessels of war. We killed 276,000 of the enemy while doing it. But it cost us something, too. In the 48 American subs that lie at the bottom of the ocean, 3,500 of our people lost their lives. 16% of the officers, 13% of the men who served in submarines. While they lived, they made each run count. They breathed a prayer as each torpedo left on its mission of death. They love their country, and they love their boats. And somehow I think it's right that now, even in death, many of them are sleeping in the last home they knew in life. The traditions they left behind will grow and increase in future years. In days of rocket warfare and atomic weapons, the submarine becomes more and ever more important as a means of defense or a vessel of war. Yes, maybe it's called a silent service for still another reason. Because it has something in itself that, well, is more eloquent than mere words. The proud history of service and a vital element of our Navy. Well, that's the story I wanted to tell. It's the story of the men who go down to the sea and down under the sea in submarines.
The Silent Service was written by Robert Vinson, produced by Robert Lehman, and narrated by William Conrad. The cast included Hi Averback, Bob Latting, Clayton Post, Howard Culver, Hal March, Gordon Gray, Bud Widham, and Tommy Vise. Music was composed by Michel Michelet and conducted by Michel Perrier. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.